Good morning. It's Thursday, June 13th, and I'm here with my good buddy CJ. CJ, how are you today?
Here, we are at Gary's. We're at Cam's.
We're at Cam's. Cam,
9:15 a.m.
I hope everybody has met Cam. Cam is a new fixture at Neshotic. He is Gary's right-hand man. Cam, can you say hello from over there?
Hello.
Wow, he's effervescent. There's no doubt about that. Cam is a good man. You should always tip your bartenders, and Cam is a good bartender, too. He's learning. We're teaching him drinks on the fly, so he's learning.
Yeah, I was reading some scouting reports, and coachable was one of the traits that was highlighted.
He had a baseball career, and then he broke his ankle or arm or something. What was it, Cam?
Yeah, ankle.
Ankle.
Yep.
By the way, that's two words out of Cam so far, so we're on a roll. All
right.
But yeah, he played at on the LS baseball team last year. I missed him by 1 year. By the way, CJ, my coaching career came to an abrupt end. Final eight, we lost to Xaverian. LS baseball, great experience. They were a good team. Just couldn't beat the Catholics, where they all recruit. I mean, they're recruiting from towns far and wide, and we're a town program.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, it sounds like you pretty much maxed out the potential.
Yes, we did. We had, they're great kids. I really enjoyed it. It was nice not knowing anybody going in and then getting all of those friendships and relationships with those kids. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. We played an awesome event Monday, and we met some great high school students there as well who were giving the histories of some of the people. Yep. We'll get into the event, but
yes.
Does everyone on the LS baseball team have the same haircut?
No. In fact, they run the gamut. They do like their hair longer than I would prefer.
Right.
But a couple of the guys who caught, I said to them, look, as the heat starts in at the end of the season, you've got that catcher's mask on, you're going to want your hair shorter. And they both took my advice and got crew cuts.
Jeez.
So I think I know the hair is a thing now, but I don't think they're so tied to it that they won't go ahead and just, you know, buzz it off for the summer. So
yeah.
One of the kids is lifeguarding at Neshotic, so I'll get to see him, and others live in my neighborhood. But CJ, we have so much going on. We started with baseball. We're in the middle, CJ, of a very busy, busy time. We've got the U.S. Open. We've got the NBA Finals. But before we get to all that, I want to throw out a theoretical to you.
Okay.
Okay? Let's say you have two guys playing golf, and they're trying to qualify for something on a gross basis, right?
Yeah.
And you know, they're good players, but they certainly aren't going to shoot 72 on their own. And they step to the fourth hole and make triple bogey to go +4. The fourth hole of 18. What would be your projection that they would finish the round in gross if you're already +4 after four?
I would have to imagine +4 after four. I think they probably pull it together and get like 84, 85.
Yeah, so they end up +16, +12.
Yeah.
CJ, that theoretical happened yesterday. You and I triple bogeyed four to go +4 gross, and where did we end up?
+5.
That is correct. There you go. Big fist bump there. You had two natural birdies.
Two birdies.
I had two natural birdies, and we grinded our butts off yesterday.
I was very happy with my two birdies. I know no one likes the descriptive golf story, but I have a captive audience. I'm going to tell it.
Yes, and you should. That your first one's fantastic.
Number two, 30 feet maybe?
More than that.
35 maybe?
Yep.
35 feet on two from the front left piece of the green, back middle hole location. Just rolled it in.
On greens, by the way, that are rolling
slick.
At maybe a 12 right now.
Yeah, off the club. I heard you say something like, that's got to dig.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, no.
And
I think
if it didn't hit
go
the hole, it would have gone past.
Yeah.
And you were putting uphill.
Yeah.
CJ, the greens right now are unbelievable. Yeah. And the course is fast because, I mean, obviously that we haven't gotten a ton of rain. If you hit a ball on the fairway, it'll run forever. We saw that, I think one of the holes that I birdied, maybe I missed that putt. I hit I was in the rough. I had like 130 in. I hit a 9-iron short by 20 yards. It
rolled
bounced
up
on and almost up to the hole. That's the only way to play this course.
There is a quality to greens that I see on rare occasions, and this is across the board, whether it's here or whether it's resort courses even.
Yes.
Where they, to me, they look and feel and roll like a pool table.
Yeah. They'll get, these are,
these are pool
like
table
that.
These are pool table greens right now.
CJ,
they are smooth and true.
I don't know if you remember, but we were on the 16th hole, and I wanted to take a picture of you on the black tees because that's where you're going to be playing the Invitational from.
That's fine.
CJ, from those tees on 16, your backswing might hit the bushes.
Yeah, it's going to get ugly, man. I'm going to hit driver, 3-wood wedge into a par 4.
Into most of them.
Yeah.
You played great yesterday. I think your game is back. Your back feels better.
Yeah.
Your draw was working.
Yeah, I had still a few kinks to work out. I really lost a lot on. I had a few holes where I hit a really good drive and I would have like 70 yards in that kind of touchy distance.
Yeah.
And I just say my like 30 to 70 yard game right now is not good. That was really tough.
Yes,
I put myself into some difficult positions.
But you can fix that.
Yeah, just or just
your
hit 3-wood off the tee.
Your putting was great. You made it. Your two birdie putts were, one was really long, and then the other one was
it was on 17,
right?
Yeah.
It's a nice straight putt, but you hit it right in the heart of the cup. So we ended up, I shot 70, I think what like I told you, I think I'd made a mistake on my scorecard, which we corrected with Brian. I think I shot 79, and then your two birdies put us at 77.
Yeah.
And we set atop the leaderboard. I like this tournament because you have to be at a combined 18. So if you're, you know, a lower handicap, you have to take a higher handicap on.
Yeah.
And you and I came in right at 18. It was perfect.
Yeah.
So we're taking all comers, CJ, in the cross.
Yeah.
Anybody want a piece of us, come right ahead. So anyway, so let's migrate, since we're also talking about great greens. Those greens existed on Monday when we played this Folds of Honor.
Yeah.
Which was just, I was exhausted on Tuesday after that day.
That was a big day. I mean, it, physically and emotionally, it was a big day.
A lot of emotion. By the way, CJ, are you aware we're all turds?
We're all turds. Yeah. That guy was amazing. Stubby was incredible.
Greg Stubby.
Yeah,
Stubby or Stubin?
Stubby.
Stubby.
Well, I think it actually is Stubby, but everyone was calling him Stubby.
Yeah.
He is a speaker for a living, but he has this incredible story about being a Green Beret, being a medic, IED explosion through his body.
70% of his intestines
are gone. I think it was 80%. He said, you know, the look in his teammates' eyes was just like, this guy's not going to make it.
Yep.
Someone saves him. And then he does the flashback, right? He does the flashback to when, I'm getting chills right now.
I know.
I'm trying to relate the story. Tells a story about how he was such a good medic that he became the teacher of the medics for the Green Berets. And this is, you know, intense stuff. This is severe trauma on a battlefield with limited supplies, limited resources. And he said at the time, he called everyone turds.
But he believed it with some people based upon
just their preconceived notion, first impression, this person's a turd.
Where he might be from, things like that.
Reminds me of somebody sitting to my right now. he said this big Texan comes in, one of his students, and he just didn't like the look of him.
Didn't like the way he carried himself,
didn't like the Texas swagger. He ends up flunking the guy out of the course.
Right.
The guy does another assignment, but he really wants to be a medic, comes back, while Stubby's on himself is on a different assignment, the guy ends up being even better than Stubby at being a medic.
And saves his life.
And who comes to save his life but this guy, this Texan.
Amazing.
An incredible story.
I got a hug from him.
Yeah, he said at some point he really transformed his approach to people and said, if I see someone that I either don't like, you know, maybe wouldn't have liked on first impression, or someone who is maybe making mistakes in how they're treating other people or how they're doing things, so I'm not going to just reject them. He's like, I'm going to love them, and I'm going to mentor them, and I'm going to make them better. Like, cause that's my role, and I was failing at my role.
Yep.
But then he said, I am a hugger. I think at one point he said he might be the only, he's like, I can't imagine anyone from public school in Tennessee that has ever been in this room before. And I was like, no, I'm the second here.
There you go.
But he said, I'm a hugger. if you see me coming and you're not a hugger, you better run because I'm going to bring it in.
Well, so he's basically his bottom line was hug a turd.
Yeah.
And I'm getting exhausted hugging all the people I know here at Nishadi.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of turds here.
Yeah.
CJ, and I'm hugging them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. We had a nice foursome and we did well. I think we came in third place. We had some really great shots.
Yeah.
And Ryan Marston, if you remember, just went off.
We just played off
for a little while.
Four-man scramble. We played off of Marston. We just watched Marston play for three holes.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody contributed, but that was pretty amazing.
Yeah. I talked to Dave Lyons briefly yesterday.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, he sounded like he hadn't slept in about a month.
Put a lot of work in.
Yeah. I mean, him and Chad, I mean, not just to put on an event
and
this
his wife.
Big.
Don't forget, probably both their wives.
Yeah. And, of course, Chad's wife won the event.
Yes, of course.
Of course, she wins everything. but an event of that magnitude and also it being the first one, like, there was no – Chad mentioned to me, and I thought it was Folds of Honor Massachusetts they opened. It's Folds of Honor New England
Correct.
They opened because there was no chapter anywhere in the New England area. So it's awesome that they're covering this event. And – True to Chad and Dave's word from talking to them before, and we learned Dave is actually called Heat.
Heat
was his call
sign. Good nickname.
Great nickname.
I know. I know you got that nickname.
And you look at him and you're like, I can see how he's called.
Yeah.
Heat. Yeah, he's a handsome man. He's easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just the amount of work that they all had to put in and to pull off an event that big. As I talked to him yesterday, he sounded exhausted because he was like, did you win the live auction for the Sherman tank? I'm like, how could you have missed that?
So, just so you know, there was a silent auction for tank rides as well. It might not be the Sherman tank. But I believe everyone that committed money to the silent auction got a tank ride. Because tank rides are unlimited, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And why not take everybody's money and give everybody? Because my buddy Tom Ruggiero, who's showing up today for the member three, put in a bid for $1,000 and got a tank ride.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I don't think you won it. I think everybody won it.
Yeah.
But you won the big one.
Yeah, and I'll say that...
how much did you pay for that?
It's a solid amount. Yeah, I'll say
where
that...
Where are we going, by the way?
Yeah, so I would say the best part about winning that was seeing you hop like a toddler girl. Because you're like, I'm gonna shoot that gun.
Well, we're going to do the podcast inside the Sherman tank.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fantastic.
Could be some background noise.
There might be, but that's okay.
I think that's part of it.
We have background noise in the lounge, but this will be better background noise.
I think
that's
part of it. Even if it's just muffled, it'd be cool to hear.
When I fire that gun, you're going to hear some background noise,
CJ.
I can't wait for that. But anyway, congratulations to you for winning that. To us, not only for playing well, but just participating. Anybody who was there, I think, walked away. You know what's funny? Just to finalize that Greg Stubbe conversation, I hear all the time. I've been to a lot of things. I know you have as well. Oh, this guy's a great speaker and all of that. And this guy lived up to the billing. I've heard other people be called great speakers. And, you know, they're okay. And they drone on a little bit. This guy was amazing.
Yeah.
He was really good.
I think I've mentioned to you before that one of my first jobs out of college, we had... I don't even know why we did this. But the entire organization underwent Myers-Briggs testing to see what your personality type is and all that and other things. One of the things that they measured was your attention span. And then they just visually to show how different. This was basically a way to relate to people. Like, not everybody is the same in meetings. Not everyone has the same ability to pay attention. And they put people in different groups based on how long into a one-hour meeting, one-hour lecture, you would tune out. And there's this group at 54 minutes, and it's, of course, it's like the executives and managers.
Yep.
And it comes on down. I was standing alone at 4 minutes.
Wow, CJ. Well, you do have a little bit of ADD.
A little bit.
You have business ADD.
Yeah, but I'd say
but
that.
You're stuck with Greg Stubbe, is what you're about
zero
to
issue, tell. Zero issue sticking with him. If my attention tried to wander, he was pulling it right back in.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah, I hung on every word the guy said.
Yeah. No, it was great. It was really great. And even the guy that spoke at the breakfast who had lost his son and started the whole thing.
Yeah.
He was awesome. I mean, these guys are speaking from the heart. They're speaking from... They've seen things we will never understand.
Yes.
And if you can't empathize with that, give me your attention, then there's something wrong with you.
And there's something like every hole you tee off, you hear a story about somebody.
Yep.
And
that started to sink in.
It's It sinks in, and then I think you suddenly feel the gravity of this.
I cried when I looked at, maybe it was the fourth or fifth guy and noticed he was 25, 26, and I just got tears in my eyes. I'm getting tears in my eyes.
Two kids. I am too. And well, our last hole of the day was Sean Collier, the MIT campus police officer who was shot by the Marathon Bombers. Yep. And, you know, I got to tell the story of, and I don't want to make it through it, but just the campus police, that was my first interaction ever with police in my life when I was there. And they came to where we live. They, like, were so communal and so engaging and so good to us. And then the one time we had that I had trouble was, if you know the MIT campus, right off of Massachusetts Avenue, there's the entrance to the main building, big columns. Mm-hmm. You go into this beautiful lobby that is just floor to ceiling, you know, 40, 50 feet. And there are walkways at the different stories going up. Perfect place to play wiffle ball. So I go
just
with my friends.
Just what it was designed for, yeah. Sure.
So, you know, you hit it into the second floor walkway, perfect home run distance for wiffle ball. Yep. So we would go there and play at midnight, 1 o'clock. And one time, someone who happened to be passing through at the same time called the campus police on us. And this guy shows up and he says, I have received a complaint about some people clowning around out here. And he's like, boys, give me that ball. I'm pitching.
Was he good?
It was awesome. He didn't throw good heat, but he could throw a freaking screwball with that thing.
That's great. Yeah. Well, look, that was, and just to be clear, there were veterans as well as first responders.
Veterans and first responders.
And there was plenty of them. They chose 18. One of them was a kid that lived in my neighborhood that I got to read their card in the beginning, and that was an honor. I was humbled to do that. We had the helicopter flyover when we were on the 10th fairway. They had the flyover of the
World War II aircraft.
That was amazing right in the beginning. And think about all the organization that, whether it's Dave or Chad or both, had to do to make all of that happen. They had color guard there. They had everything there.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Anyway, so I'm glad we participated. We played yesterday with Brian Smith, and he said to me unequivocally they want to have it back next year. Nishada donated the club. There was no payment for that. Yeah. Now, I'm sure there had to be some money for the food and whatever, but that was nice that they, you know, normally that's a moneymaker for Nishada.
Yeah.
To do an event here, and I from what he told me, they donated that. So good for us, because that's what we should have done.
I agree.
So the Sherman tank is gone, CJ. They're prepping it for us. It was there a little while longer, but now it's gone.
Yeah.
But all the flags are still. You come up to Nishadik, if you don't know what happened this week, all the flags are still up. I don't know when they're going to take those down, but I would like to have one.
Yeah. I have one final question from the event for you. Which club specifically did the chaplain bless?
I forgot about that. That he wasn't a chaplain, he was Monsignor.
Oh, Monsignor, yeah.
And he blessed my 6-iron right before I hit a ball on the fourth hole, and I hit it to, remember, I hit it to within 10 feet of the cup.
Yeah.
That's the power of God. So anyway, speaking of the power of God, I don't know if you know, but Jaylen Brown always thanks God after every game, and he's got a lot of thanking to do because the Celts are up 3-0.
Yeah, that game was ugly early. They came back, made it close, pulled away, and in true Celtics fashion, blew a 22-point lead to get it back to one. And
I was afraid. Good point. I was afraid that they were going to lose that game. Then all the old, you know, stories about how these guys always choke. But there was one point, I don't know if you remember, that J.J. Redick said, the first thing you should do down the floor is have Jaylen Brown go right at Doncic. Boom! Like that. And knocked him out for the game. So that was great. Luka Doncic, it's interesting. I think he went from going into the finals like a very big, popular favorite, and now he's just known as a whiny little bitch because that's what he's been. And he does with a smile on his face, but shut up, please.
That's Jesus.
Play some defense.
Yeah, not quite your eloquence, but there are a few articles about out this morning about exactly that, about how it's really been exposed that he doesn't get back on defense, right. that he's not great on defense, and the Celtics are just exploiting it, all of it.
So I heard that stat called the blow-by stat, and he leads the playoffs by a ton, wide margin in the blow. So I guess when a guy can dribble by you or something like that, wow. I don't know what it means. He's a scorer. That's what he is.
He's elite.
He needs a team around him. He's almost like a James Harden. You know, I mean, it's not James Harden because he's better than that, because he can do more things. But he needs to. He'll never win a championship without a team around him.
Yeah.
I mean, when your third option is PJ Washington, you're not going to win anything.
Yeah.
So the Celts have been great. I mean, this is a historic run. I think it's. I think they're going to go down, theoretically, as one of the best teams in NBA history.
Yep.
Especially, they're going to end up 80-20 if they win tomorrow. Yeah. They win tomorrow. Yeah, they're going to end up 80-20.
That's insane.
And have gone their four playoff rounds, 4-1, 4-1, 4-0, 4-0.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they're going to win tomorrow, but it'd be hard to imagine that they just don't take care of it.
Yeah, I mean, typically what you see when someone's down 3-0 is the team down 3-0 just comes out flat and it's just a cakewalk.
I mean, because you know it's over.
Yeah.
You got history against you. No one's ever come back.
Yeah.
Of course, no one ever came back in baseball either, and the Red Sox did it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, maybe the Mavericks fly in Dave Roberts.
Yeah. Yeah, you just want to just put your foot on the throat and finish it. So anyway, that was a lot of fun last night to watch. It was actually a really good game. It was probably the best game of the series because of how, you know, it went back and forth. But because you do want to see good basketball. There haven't been a lot of great games.
I don't want to see good basketball tomorrow. I want to see 50-point win. No, tomorrow
I would love to see them win by 30.
I want to see a party.
I'd love to see all the scrubs out on the court at the end and those guys celebrating on the bench. But so, CJ, we do have a tournament going on amongst everything else that's happening. And very pleased that everybody got their May matches in, correct? Maybe some bled into June? I don't know.
No, there was one that we were missing, but it turned out they had played it, and they just hadn't put the score in.
So there have been some, not concerns, but observations that maybe the scores don't go in automatically. Is that a possibility? I mean, you are the tech guru.
No, there's only one match that didn't make it in.
Okay.
Within 24 hours of it being played.
Okay.
So I think it's working really well.
So everything's clean.
Yeah, we've had 32 matches. Of those, one didn't make it in within 24 hours, and one was entered incorrectly for the score.
All right. Well, considering we migrated to a brand new system, that's pretty good.
Pretty good conversion. And people have been good about turnout. We had a little glitch in the scheduling for July, August, so someone was nice and emailed us, and we were able to fix it up.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. Look, you make something new, there are going to be a couple bugs. I think we got them mostly squished out. Exciting news that when I post this, I'll also be posting a new photo on McGavickCup.com to replace the big boy pants one.
Good, because that one's got to be over with.
Yeah.
What's the new one?
It's you and Marston. You had just put on your Tito's bandana.
Oh, shit, that's right. But I was promised that I'd get freaked. You should see all the Tito's I have in my locker.
I saw it yesterday. I came in, your locker was open. I was like, that is a lot of Tito's in there.
So I said to the woman, that was manning the Tito's. I said, look, you know, you guys, when you sponsor these things, you're looking for new customers. The only problem is, the only thing I drink is Bud Light and Tito's. Yeah. And there we are. They were both there. So that was great. That was nice to have those sponsors there. Their Bloody Mary was not great, though.
You want to go over the standings?
Yeah, I want to know, just tell us right now. First of all, give us your prediction of who's going to win the halfway point money.
There's a pretty clear front runner right now. Although there are two teams I think that are in contention.
Okay.
Red Hot Chili Dippers is at a 14.8 match average, but only two matches played.
Okay.
Locker 91 is at 14.2, but they have three matches played.
So that puts them in a better position. Yeah. Didn't they win it last year?
I think they did. Yeah.
Jesus, those guys, we gotta break them up.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's way too early to even look at playoffs. But who are the two top teams in each flight?
Yeah. So, flight one, Scratch and Sniff. Number one is Red Hot Chili Dippers.
Yep.
14.8. Just behind is your favorite and all of ours. Grip It and Sip It.
The name that will not be.
Yeah. Oh, computer's crashing.
I'm playing them on playing them on Sunday. They're a July match for us, but they wanted to move into June because they have a July issue. So I'm like, good, that's good. That's proactive. That makes sense.
Top two in Flight 2 Steelers wheel. It's tight. James Gang at 13.2 is in first. Winner Booze is at 13.0 in second.
So James Gang is, that's Jesse and Boudreaux and Perella and Scheid?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Yeah.
That won't last. And then what's the other one? Who's Winner Booze?
Let's see. Winner Booze.
I hear music in the background.
Oh, here we go. This is a good team. Gagne. It's not Gagne. Gagne.
That's Winner Booze?
Yeah.
Oh.
Gagne, Mullen, McCallion, and Pete Robinson.
That's one we put them together.
Those are good. Those are good guys, good players. That's a good, that's a great team.
We could be golf coaches.
Yeah.
Then and what about what's it called?
Hot garbage. Flight 3. Locker 91, 14.2. Weapons of Grass Destruction, 13.0.
Okay. Wow.
And then you have for your current wild card teams, the Hazel Rockets and Three Guys, One Rod.
So, yeah. Like I said, it's early. I don't think you really have a good feel until you're five in, maybe? I mean, certainly after six. Will we sit here at the end of July? We'll know.
Yeah. I will say, leading the league in matches played, Hazel Rockets and Tremendous Slouchers at four.
Yeah, so they got them in. Yep. Good. I think it's great. Now they're thinking about it. They can either play up on a July match or just, you know, brush up for July.
Yeah.
And coming hot in July. Speaking of hot in July, CJ, are you going to, how many rounds do you think you're going to play from the Blacks before the Invitational?
At least two.
Yeah, I mean, you got it.
I was really looking the last couple days at the differences. The only one that truly terrifies me is hole one. That's a lot.
There's a lot. Yeah, well, that's because people are going to be watching you, but.
People are going to be watching me, and they're going to be within striking distance of my drive.
Yes.
That's a lot of real estate.
The entire practice area is in your line of sight.
Yes, they should have like a siren go off when I'm taking off there.
CJ, that's gonna be a thing of beauty.
I'm gonna have to get really good with my three wood and hybrid because the par threes are gonna be 200 something yards.
All right, so I want to walk you through. You're a pretty good self-aware guy, okay? But I'm gonna walk you through some data points, and I want a prediction from you. Black tees, possible 13 stem greens. High rough, into the cup. What's your best score over 3 days?
I'd be thrilled with a 99.
I was going to say the same. If you break 100, that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
I almost guarantee you from the Blacks, I would not break. I don't think I would break 80. I don't think I would break 80.
It's going to be
tough. I'm not sure I'd break 85. It is a significant. I mean, there are obviously some holes where there aren't. Isn't it a difference? But I was thinking about 16. Honest to God, that black tee on 16, because it was the one that I really looked at thinking about you, and it looks like your backswing would hit the bushes that line the house that resides on 16.
You didn't walk back there. It's not that
scary. Oh, you got plenty of room there? Oh, yeah. Good. I was worried about you.
Yeah.
What about 18? 18 is still tucked up in the back.
I the par fives, I think, are my opportunity because it's a three shot hole,
well,
no matter
18,
what.
Right, that would actually keep you away from the water, likely. But 17, you're gonna be teeing off from the back corner on the right. 8, you're gonna be up in the
Eight's gonna be rough. 17, it played long yesterday. I hit
well,
it pretty
actually,
tight.
Sometimes on 8 they bring the black tees down.
Yeah,
but so. A lot of times they're up there. It's going to be hard. I feel for you, CJ, but you
thank
know,
you.
Jay Messina will take care of you. He'll come in here, out some fire because he's been playing so much.
I'm going to concentrate on making a good playlist, Scott.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
it's a good idea. We're going to be doing our podcasts for the Invitational.
Yeah,
but you can't squirrel out after day one when you know you have a tough day. You got to come and face the music.
I'll do some digging. I've told the story a few times on the podcast, but the last time I played the tips anywhere was at Redtail, and I broke 80.
Okay.
So I think the tips at Redtail are very different than the tips here.
If we publicized that you were going to come on a podcast and discuss year round with all the data points I just suggested around the country, every, you know, mid-level golfer in the world would want to hear how year round goes, because I think it'd be, it's like when we talked to Crooker about Augusta. It's like, I think people would be fascinated to what happens when you have to play a harder course than you're used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think breaking out, I'd be excited to break 100, and then if I do, then on to the next goal.
By the way, yesterday, you played like you did yesterday, I think you would break 100. Because your putting was good, and that'll save shots.
Yeah, I've got some work to do. I definitely, and I'm gonna be playing some hard courses the next week.
And right, you're going to Ireland, right?
Yeah, we're doing, yeah, the hinge, belly button,
different,
all that stuff.
Different kind of golf, but still, it'll get your game shape. It'll help you around the greens.
There will be no more difficult short game scenario than what I'm about to face this week.
Great. Well, the thing about Ireland is those, a lot of those courses you can putt from 50 yards off. In fact, that's what the caddy tells you to do.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting from the fairway almost all the time.
Yeah, because the fairways run a 9 there.
Yeah.
When you play in Ireland or Scotland, you hit a drive right down the middle, maybe a little bit of draw or fade on it, and someone says, nice shot, and the caddy goes, don't say that yet. You don't know where it's going to end up.
I've never played there, but obviously I've heard, and you see it when they play the British Open.
Yeah.
But, it's just different kind of golf. And I will tell you, the Shattuck is different kind of golf now than it has been in a long time. This is a bump-and-run golf course. I've said it before, and we saw it yesterday.
Yeah.
You can't hit out of the rough and onto the green. You can't.
I'm really I have a really good shot. I don't even think you saw it, but on 3 yesterday.
Well, how could I not see your shot?
No, because you were over on the other side, but I was
when you hit, I remember.
On 3, there was a branch, so yeah. I had to just punch an 8-iron. Yeah. I got it to from 120 yards, punched it to 12 feet, 15 feet.
You also had a great shot on 16, if you remember. You were way off on the right.
Yeah.
And you put yourself in play like, 20 yards off the green?
I was 30 yards.
That's actually a really good
30
shot.
30 yards from the hole, yeah. Yeah, no, I had some good shots. I think what destroyed me yesterday was the short game. I just got to go to the short game area and just grind there. And lock in.
Told you before, that's where you got. Now they've paved it, so now you can get there.
Yeah.
They finally, the Lazaro trucks are gone. Yeah. it only took 2 months.
Yeah.
CJ, I would just like to say, in finality, that we're still in first place on the twine. So, congratulations to all the captains for putting together great teams and getting us to first place on the twine.
That is a fact.
CJ, anything else?
That's all I have.
That's all you have. Yeah. Then sign us out, CJ.
Peace, love, and reciprocals, please.